Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for All About Android is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of All About Android is brought to you by Squarespace.com, the fast and easy way to create a high-quality website or blog. For a free trial and 10% off your new account for 6 months, go to Squarespace.com and use the offer code Android9. And by Netflix. Watch thousands of TV episodes and movies on your PC, Mac, iPad, iPhone, TV, or Android device instantly. I'll stream directly to you, saving you time, money, and hassle. For your free 30-day trial, go to Netflix.com/TWiT.
Episode 25, recorded on Monday, September 12th, 2011. This is your weekly source for all the latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. I'm Eileen Rivera.
I'm Jason Howell.
And I'm Ron Richards.
Woohoo! We have a big show for you today. Yeah,
as evidenced by our wide shot
this.
Right here.
Oh my goodness. This week we're going to be discussing what comes after Ice Cream Sandwich. We're going to take a first look at the new Sony Tablet S. And we've got browser apps in the arena. But first, I'm so excited to introduce our really cool smart guests. And we didn't invite them on the show until we were, you know.
We had to feel like we had our sea legs underneath us before we started bringing in the heavy hitters.
I know. Well, first of all, I want to introduce the lovely and talented Gina Trapani from smarterware.org.
Hello, great to be here.
And you guys out there in the TWiT universe know her as one of the co-hosts of This Week in Google. Thank you so much for joining us, Gina. I'm so excited. I'm nervous.
So excited to be here. I'm feeling a little intimidated to be in the presence of such august Android experts.
Oh, see what I can add to the conversation. I don't know about that.
We were thinking the same thing about you. So
thank you so much for joining us today. And right next to me, live in studio, is Brady Forrest of O'Reilly Media. Hello.
Hey, thanks for having me.
And thank you for coming up here. I thought maybe you would just come up for just like maybe, you know, on Skype for about 10 minutes and we'll chat, you know, the Android Open conference. You said, no, I'm going to come up and be on the show. I said, what? That's so cool.
Well, it just worked out. I live in Seattle, but I was down here for Disrupt. So I figured I'd just
here just for this show.
I mean, I flew down here just for this show and then I think I might pop down to the city.
You might stop
for the next
by Disrupt,
couple of days
maybe. Disrupt. You know, we'll see.
Well, thank you. And we're going to talk to you about the Android Open Conference in just a sec. I do want to say a happy belated birthday to my co-host here, Jason Howell. His birthday was yesterday.
Woo! Yeah. Woo. And I would love to say that, you know, my sounding, like my voice being raspy and not sounding all that great is totally related to that. But it's not. Believe me, it's not because my birthday was yesterday.
Okay.
Something completely different.
But. Well, happy belated birthday. And I also want to say I'm so thankful that Ron is alive because he, if you had followed him on Twitter, would know that he had an issue with a flight recently from SFO to New York. And what happened? The engine burst?
Yeah.
What happened?
It was pretty scary. For those who follow me on Twitter know how much I do travel and I do fly a lot, and it was bound to happen sooner or later. But I was about 1:30 in the morning over Colorado. The right wing engine blew, and when we landed, the captain said it was totally destroyed. Which is great. There was about 5-10 minutes of a little panic, a little chaos, but the Virgin America crew was totally awesome and they kept everyone calm and we did the whole crash positions thing and all that stuff. We found an airport, we landed safely, and now I'm, you know, here happily ever after. So it all worked out fine. Air travel is still safe. I'm going to get back on that plane to go back to San Francisco. So don't worry. I'm not spooked. Wow. But I'm glad. I'm very, very glad to be here and be able to Skype into the show from New York. So
at least they told you that the engine was destroyed after you had already landed.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
They didn't tell you that while you were in midair?
That was key. Yeah, that was pretty key. It was waiting until we were on the ground safe and could see, you know, see lights and things like that. No, but
wow,
it was pretty interesting. I happened to have been, I was actually awake on my computer of all things on the airplane Wi-Fi work. And when I heard the explosion and I smelled the fire extinguisher, like aerosol smell and was awake throughout the entire thing. Yeah,
I would have freaked out. If I was sitting next to you, I would have been screaming. And you had a screaming woman next to you or something?
Yeah, I did. Two seats away, across the aisle, two seats away from me. I dubbed her Freak Out Girl on Twitter, which I feel bad if she went back and read them, but she was freaking out. But I stayed calm. I mean, the way I figured was what's the sense in getting upset? I mean, it's either going to work out or not work out. And so luckily it worked out well. So.
That is true.
Oh my God.
This is why KGOAM, when they interviewed me the next day, said I sounded remarkably calm.
Well, you had a very zen outlook, and
yes.
I was reading your tweets and just like, oh my God. But anyways, I'm happy that you're alive, and
me too. I figured that was a pretty lame excuse to miss a show, so I couldn't, I had to be here, so yeah.
Oh God, no. Anyways. Yay, you're back. And let's just, Chad, let's get into the news.
All right, so the Salesforce Dreamforce 2011 conference happened last week. And there was a little bit of a comment made by Google CEO Eric Schmidt. He basically made a comment about halfway through their pretty lengthy keynote. And I think we actually have the clip, so we might as well just go ahead and play it.
Phone models today in the market, and many, many coming. We have a new operating system internally known as Ice Cream Sandwich for some reason, which is being released in October, November, which everybody's very excited about, with even more of these. And I was thinking with this group.
That's kind of the gist of it. I mean, two things here. Obviously, the October, November for Ice Cream Sandwich, which kind of confirms what some of the rumblings have been out there, that maybe Ice Cream Sandwich is going to hit a little bit sooner than I think what we initially thought. But also, that Eric Schmidt just kind of seems so blasé about the name, right? Did
totally
I read that wrong?
Totally dissed the naming convention.
Yeah, he really did.
I love that he was like, for that. Some reason. You know, like as if there hasn't been any sort of theme to it or whatever.
Totally.
That is like dismissal of the engineering naming convention.
I couldn't tell if he was just kind of joking along with it, I also know that, we name our Android kind of releases around delicious desserts or whatever, kind of nudge, nudge, wink, wink, or if he actually really doesn't care for it. But anyways, I guess it's not totally important. I'm just happy to know that it's coming around the corner. Having said that, we've talked on past shows about, them possibly rushing Ice Cream Sandwich,
right,
and hoping that that doesn't kind of shortchange the end result. So I guess that remains to be seen, but...
Yeah.
We know that it's around the corner, so that's good.
Yeah, I mean, in last week's show, I think we talked about how the iPhone's probably coming out in October, and hence, the forward push for Ice Cream Sandwich, and we're just crossing our fingers that it's all, good to go. Do you guys have any opinion on pushing it out sooner than later just to kind of compete with the iPhone?
I mean, October, November is consumer season. So if they want to get it in the hands of consumers for Christmas, which is like the real battlefield, then they need to get it out by the beginning of November, or it's just not going to hit Best Buy shelves.
Mm-hmm. I just don't want it to be a honeycomb situation, I guess is what I'm saying, where it did feel rushed. And while it's still usable and workable, there's just a little bit of it, and you kind of felt, just a little, if they
had
would
you
have
held
spent
on
a little
to
more
it
time.
And kind of honed it a little bit more, yeah.
And they wouldn't have run into the open source issues
exactly
that they had.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
exactly.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which was as much a PR issue as anything else.
Yeah. Totally.
But still did not help anything.
Well, we're already hearing rumblings about the next iteration, the next dessert. And apparently on the table is Jelly Bean. There's not much more to say about that. But that is, as a trusted source told ThisIsMyNext.com, that is possibly the next name for the next operating system, which might come out sometime next year. I thought it was going to be Jell-O, but I guess
because that's a trademark name, right. And there's no way whoever owns Jell-O these days is going to allow that to be. It had to be something generic, like nobody owns Ice Cream Sandwich, nobody owns Honeycomb. Although I'm pretty sure there's a cereal called Honeycomb.
Honeycomb.
But anyway,
Honeycombs.
Honeycombs, yeah.
That S makes all the difference, yeah.
Yeah.
I have to argue, Jelly Bean's not a dessert. They're a snack. I would go with Jelly Roll, Jelly Donut.
Just
I think Jelly
sugar.
Beans are just too... That's something I eat, in the glass bowl on the coffee table,
That's true. You don't order a big bowl of, Jelly Bean after dinner. You don't.
Right, I'm kind of hoping it's going to be jelly something else.
Jelly Donut? No, wait a minute.
Jelly Roll.
Some people actually said Jelly Donut was their...
They also like to kind of, give themselves a little bit of an icon around it. And how does Jelly Donut kind of differ?
Yeah, any visual of a Jelly Donut is not appetizing at all when you see it. It's just like the broken donut in half with like oozing jelly. That's not good.
One thing I found very interesting about this Jelly Bean news is that the source also kind of confirmed confirmed that some of the game-changing stuff, in quotes, originally planned for Ice Cream Sandwich might be moving to Jelly Bean. Which actually kind of maybe brings to light the reason why they're, you know, they're rushing it. They're able to rush it because they move some of those features onto Jelly Bean, and that allows them to get Ice Cream Sandwich out. It's just kind of a bummer if that's the case, because they really touted it at Google I.O. That Ice Cream Sandwich was going to be this big sea change, you know, between unifying tablets and phones.
But that's the standard case with any sort of development schedule, development roadmap, is that there are things you want to get in each release, and sure enough, you get close to it, and you're like, we'll push that to the next phase. We'll push that to the next phase. So I'm sure Ice Cream Sandwich is going to have stuff that's going to be enough of a game changer. Hell, if they unify the platform, the tablets and the phones alone, I think that'll be enough to make Ice Cream Sandwich worth celebrating. So who knows what they push off and what they handle with. So
yeah, that would be a huge change for developers. Mm-hmm. But then also you figure, there's so many lawsuits going on right now. Mm-hmm. The team has to be distracted by that. Okay. And so that must be causing problems for them internally.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so
very distracting.
They're just
to their bottom line, for sure.
I can't even count the number of lawsuits. Every day it's something different. HTC.
Yeah.
Google so much to HTC going on. To Apple. Okay. Yeah. Anyway.
Do we know any specifics about what users are going to get from Ice Cream Sandwich? Like, I completely get the whole unifying the two platforms and releasing the code, and that's great for developers. But do we know beyond maybe, like, some skin tweaks? I mean, are there any big user features that we know are going to come with Ice Cream Sandwich? I'm just wondering how they're going to sell this thing. No consumer is going to care that Honeycomb and Gingerbread have merged.
Yeah, well, I do know that there were some screenshots that kind of leaked a few weeks back, and we had those on the show, and they kind of it was actually more or less pretty subtle what was kind of shown there, but definitely some visual enhancements. Kind of, you know, when you take a look at kind of the Honeycomb layout and the app drawer and all that kind of stuff, kind of representing that a little bit more on your phone versus right. What we're used to now. But then again, they were really early screenshots. Who knows how early in the process they were? There might be even more changes. Or even less, you know, based on this news. But yeah, you're right. I mean, we don't really know a whole lot about Ice Cream Sandwich other than their big promise around it of unifying these platforms. So.
Right.
I mean, they could be hoping that the developers save the day. Mm-hmm. And that with a better platform, they'll be able to put more investment into tablet apps and the phone apps, and that they'll have a richer store that they can sell to consumers. And that ends up being the Christmas buy-in.
Yeah, totally.
Right. But developers have the time to make the Christmas buy-in worth it. I mean, if it's coming out next month, you know, are developers aren't gonna have the time to roll out the apps?
Great point.
Or, yeah.
Well, that might be why they're dropping early.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It's all conjecture at this point.
Yeah, absolutely.
At least to those of us outside of the Googleplex.
Yeah. Exactly. And Ron, well, there's this video on Google TV. What do you know about that?
The Google TV watch continues. Apparently, this news caught my eye, and I was excited to see it. So at CEDIA, there was a spotted in the wild, a Google TV box, actually a Sony Blu-ray box, at the Sony booth that was running Honeycomb, showcasing the new updated UI version of Google TV that we first saw at Google I.O. earlier this summer. Mm-hmm. And this got me so excited because I've been dying for this update.
And so much better than what I have at home.
Yeah.
So much better. Look how streamlined it is.
Well, I didn't hate the original Google TV, you know, kind of OS. I mean, but it clearly was, you know, it was Android from a phone on a TV. So, like, considering how even when you went to the system settings, it was in the little rectangle that was like phone shaped. But this is a much cleaner, much more consumer friendly UI. And apparently, you know, the rumors is that Logitech and Sony are gearing up to have it arrive as soon as this September. On the Logitech review. So I'm hoping that they do an over-the-air update or whatever update to the existing box owners, because I have the Sony Blu-ray player and I'm dying for this update. But it looks sexy. It definitely looks good.
Yeah, Chad, if you scroll a little bit later, there's some apps, and there's actually they start showing a book. Yeah, there we go.
Yeah.
So we see the app drawer on the bottom of the screen. And then, come on.
It's just going to get super powerful. Once you can install, the fireplace app, that's an important one. Yeah.
Important.
But once you once you can start installing Android apps and running them on the TV, I mean, that's when it's going to get really, really cool. I mean, it's already super cool to be able to just pull up Chrome and watch, you know, go to a website and watch streaming video from any sort of website. But once we get developers actually designing for the TV UI and integrating both video and all the, you know, it's just going to unlock a whole bunch of stuff and get us that much closer to the truly connected TV.
I'm kind of at this point right now where, you know, the Logitech review is $100. And I actually saw even a week ago there was a deal for it for $80. So, you can get it ridiculously inexpensive now. I almost feel like I have to pick one up at this point because, I mean, it's part of the Android universe, number one. But number two, it's starting kind of some of these changes that they're making are actually somewhat compelling to me now. Whereas before it was like, oh, well, how do I find a place for this to fit in and, you know, into my TV experience? I don't know.
A bunch of people have asked me on Twitter whether or not they should pull the trigger on the review. And I said, yeah, why not? At $100 price point.
Such a low price point.
Exactly. And while we don't, while we're not sure that the older hardware will run the OS, I gotta imagine it's gonna be fine. I can't imagine, you know, if phones and tablets are running Honeycomb, no problem. I gotta imagine whatever processors inside the review or inside the Google TV, inside the Sony boxes can handle the upgrade. That's the only thing that makes me worry if I need to get a new box or anything like that, if it's gonna be like that much faster for a processor. But I think it'll be fine. I hope.
Well, you know, what's interesting is this is the first release out of the video group. So Google TV moved under Salar Kamangar, who heads up YouTube. So they're now, it's like full video. They're really paying attention to that.
Right.
And that's, I mean, I wonder if that's why we're seeing such a big difference in the UI.
Totally.
With this version.
Sure.
Do either of you, Gina, Brady, do you guys have the Google TV? And what do you think right now?
I have a projector hooked up to a DVD player.
Okay.
Nice. I have the review. I actually really, really like it. I think I like the potential mostly, but I like it very much, and it's really sad. I just keep going to system settings about system updates.
I did just this past weekend, I did the exact same thing. I'm like, oh, maybe I missed an update. And then it was still, your system was up to date, and I got sad.
I'm embarrassed about how many times I did that, actually.
I'm glad I'm not alone. Thank you, Gina.
Well, it sounds like an update is probably right around the corner. And I would be ridiculously surprised if this didn't hit the review. So I think you're okay. You're going to get it if you get the review. So
cross your fingers.
I might have to buy into that. Maybe I'm jinxing it just by saying that.
But. Don't jinx it. I mean, the only thing that I use it for right now is Netflix and Amazon to watch videos. I don't really surf the web on it.
I wouldn't see myself.
I have a full keyboard and it, you know, got Chrome on there, it works. And
It was funny because I picked it up because I wanted to go Blu-ray, so I grabbed the Sony Blu-ray player, and it's got that little video game remote with the mini keyboard. And actually, a friend of mine the other day was talking about tweeting from your TV, and that's ridiculous. And I was like, hey, I can. There's Twitter on my Google TV app. I never use it. You know, I do find myself mainly using it for going to MLB.TV through the Chrome browser to watch baseball or Netflix or actually I've been using the streaming component, actually streaming media from my PC through the whole how it picks up media. I forget what it's called. There's an abbreviation. I'm totally blanking on it now. But the same thing allows you to stream video to your Xbox or stuff like that. So that
works.
Yeah.
DNLA, that's it, DNLA.
So
using the media player, which I hope there's an upgrade to the media player UI because I use that so much and that is a little clunky. But it's a great little box. I love it. So
I use Twitter up a lot to search for, like a lot of TV shows have hashtags associated with them. So you can, run a search for a hashtag and do picture in picture so you can kind of see what people are saying about a show that I, you know, care about or a sporting event or whatever. I also watch live sports on it a lot in the browser. Gina, I like a lot.
Do you have cable hooked up and working with the picture-in-picture with cable?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. See, I don't have cable, so like everything I'm watching is all either via the web or Netflix or stream from my local box. So that's the one piece that I actually, it's so funny. I was like, I'm unplugging from cable. I'm going to get rid of it. And then I got this box. I'm like, well, maybe I'll get cable back.
Right.
Because I want to enhance it, you know? But I haven't done it yet. So.
That's a great idea. I hadn't even thought about that. I want to do that picture-in-picture because, you know, I'm on my phone. Looking at Twitter, watching.
Yeah.
Right. It's kind of fun if you're in a room with, you know, if you're watching True Blood, you can pause it and do a search, you know, do the search for True Blood or whatever and see what people are saying. It's kind of fun, especially during live events as well.
I bet. Oh, yeah. Like the Oscars. That would be really cool.
Yeah. The Oscars or any kind of finals game or UFC fight or something.
Anything. Okay. Cool. All right. Well, here comes a time that we just want to chat with you too, Brady, and give us a little bit of information about the Android Open Conference that's coming up here in San Francisco in October. What can we expect? Who's it for?
Good stuff. So Well, thank you first for having me and having me here to talk about this.
Absolutely.
I'm really glad that it worked out, that there's also other events I can go to while I'm down here. This is the first year of Android Open. It runs from October 9th to the 11th. It's primarily aimed at developers and business folk who are working in the mobile space, specifically on Android. The first day is workshops. The next 2 days are keynotes and sessions. So we're going to have tracks in business and marketing, tracks for application development, and tracks for Android internals. So covering security, enterprise deployment, frameworks, when do you choose HTML5 versus an app. We're going to have a hardware showcase. We have Massimo, the creator of the Arduino, coming to speak. Mm-hmm. Robert Stevens of Best Buy coming to speak. We have Ben and Dion, who created Ajaxian, are now head of mobile for Walmart.com, coming to talk about their mobile strategy. So it's really, we're trying to bring the Android community together under one roof. So not just developers, but also the people who are actually designing the apps, marketing the apps, and coming up with the business cases. So we also have, say, like the head of Android development for Square, who, when we were first talking about the conference, he was like, can I do a talk on making Android beautiful? I am tired of everybody making these ugly Android apps. It can be done. They don't have to be the ugly stepchild. So he's doing a piece on that. Tony Hillerson of Effective UI is also doing a workshop on design. So I hope we see a lot of good app development come out of it.
So we've got keynotes. You're going to give one or two.
I'll just be introducing and kind of guiding the show along.
Okay. And then there's an exhibit hall. Mm-hmm. So we're going to have booths that people could, you know, kind of look around. Yep. Like that, you're saying, the hardware showcase, mm-hmm. and probably some app developers.
And Tim O'Reilly will be opening the conference as a keynote.
Very cool.
And we'll have an Ignite first night and startup showcase where we have a lot of startups come in. They get an hour, they get a laptop, and you can just roam around and kind of talk to them, find out what they're working on.
Great.
That's great. Yeah, it really seems like there's a lot of really good kind of sessions here for also kind of the beginning Android app developer. I mean, you know, one thing that even starts the sessions off on the very first day is Android app development 101. That kind of caught my eye, though, I got to say, is where was it? It was the app inventor and its future session, because I guess I didn't know that app inventor had much of a future. I mean, it's
moving over to MIT.
So it's just an open source kind of project that's going to continue on.
Potentially continue on. Mm-hmm. I think it's great. Casual programming, I think, is going to be really important for consumers going forward. You know, like Yahoo Pipes kind of pioneered that on the web.
Right.
And then, you know, a new favorite, starting totally not Android related, but a new favorite website of mine is if this then that, ifttt.com. And it's kind of like pipes, but if designed by 37 signals, say. So if you picture, so you just basically, like, I went in and said, if I take a photo in Instagram, it goes to Facebook. Mm-hmm. And that's it. Mm-hmm. I just put these two services together. And if you could imagine App Inventor getting to that type of state, like almost like Tasker or any of these other apps that people use that are kind of like casual programming on their phone.
Absolutely.
I think people would feel a lot more comfortable and would come to the Android platform.
Yeah. Well, when I was going to say it like that, it's almost like giving them a foot in the door into programming and then letting them kind of taste the candy. Mm-hmm. Be like, hey, wait a minute, that wasn't so hard.
Yep.
Although I've always had these grand intentions to write something with App Inventor, and I never did. But
I've had many grand intentions that way, too.
So, I never had a great idea. I never had something that I absolutely had to have. And actually, last week on last week's episode, the app that I reviewed was Tasker, which you had just mentioned. And that ends up doing a lot of the things that I ended up thinking of anyway. So, but yeah, this is just, I mean, there's so many good sessions here. We, the three of us, I believe, we're all three
we're
going
all
to be there.
Well, we hope you're all coming, yeah.
We're coming.
Yeah, we're registered and everything, so it's definitely on our schedule to kind of go check it out and see what we can learn in the time that we're there.
Yeah, and I've got a discount code for...
Oh, great.
Nice.
Awesome.
I tried to actually bring up the chat room, but it's AN11BGDA. I know it's really easy to remember.
AN11BGDA.
Yep. And you can just register that at androidopen.com.
We'll put that on our show notes too, just in case.
Yeah, absolutely.
On our website. There we go. The chat room's got it.
Thank you.
AN11BGDA.
Yep.
It's a registration code. What exactly does that?
20% off. 20%. Whatever
price you, whatever price point you pick up.
That's fantastic. Thank you for doing that.
Awesome.
That's awesome.
Cool.
Cool. Well, so if you guys, you know, are thinking about, you know, you're in the Bay Area, number one, because it's going to be the Bay Area. But if you're kind of, you know, interested in getting into the development of Android and kind of learning a little bit more about it, definitely, you know, meet up with all of us out there. We'll be there. We don't know exactly which days we're going to be stopping by, but we will definitely be swinging by and checking some stuff out. That's O'Reilly's Android Open Conference. October 9th through the 11th in San Francisco.
Yeah, in San Francisco. I love that. On the Embarcadero in the Hyatt.
Yeah, awesome. Right on.
Hopefully there will still be some sun.
Hopefully yeah, so. Yeah. We've been very deprived of sun this summer. That's all I'll
Excuse
say,
me, I live in Seattle.
Oh, well, never mind.
Really?
You win.
Cry me a river.
Understood. All right, we'll take a quick break and thank our sponsor here. This episode is brought to you by Squarespace.com, the fast and easy way to create a high-quality website or blog. I know most of us, or at least the three of us sitting here, we have Squarespace pages, and I absolutely love Squarespace. It was the easiest thing in the world to set up my website. I don't do as much updating on it as much as I would like, but it's pretty easy to do. They actually now have an Android app,
yep.
Right?
They do. I've got it right here. Pretty good. Pretty comparable to the iPhone app as well. So kudos to Squarespace. And here it is. So you can compose. You can actually see stats. You can have multiple accounts. I just have one account set up on this. You could actually preview your page too after you've made a draft as well. So it's a really, really handy app, and it works.
Yeah.
That's what I like to know.
I've heard really good things about it. I keep meaning to install it in the hopes that if I have it in my pocket, I might actually update things a little bit more. What can I say? Google Plus has been stealing my update time. That's just what Google Plus has done in my life lately. But Squarespace just, I mean, the beauty for me was just kind of setting up the site itself. The updating is really easy on the back end, but to get it to do all these really cool kind of splashy graphical things is just a piece of cake. It's all a very graphically intense UI for setting up your pages, and it really makes it dead simple. It has all of these different widgets so that you can import your social networks into there very easily, Twitter, Flickr, all that type of stuff. And like you said, it has a ton of options for kind of tracking how the site is doing and boosting your SEO and all that kind of stuff. So if you want to check out Squarespace, you can sign up for a free trial, totally free. There's no credit card needed, nothing at all like that. You can just try it out and start building your own website. And then if you decide to purchase it, you can use the offer code Android9, and that's going to get you 10% off for 6 months. So go to squarespace.com, check it out, start a site. You can do it right now while this show is going on and listen to us in the background.
Jason's thumbring.squarespace.com.
Yeah, see, have a site devoted to my thumb ring because people seem all hung up on it for some reason. And you can do that, but only one of you can do that, and then the rest will not be able to do it.
I hear they're coming back.
Did they leave? I guess this is the joke. This is the thing that I apparently missed somewhere along the line. Anyway, so there we go. Jason'sThumbring.squarespace.com. Chad, our TD, is setting that up. Thank you, Chad, for not making a liar of me. And then eventually, Chad, if you want to renew that, just Android 9 is your offer code, and that's 10% off for the first 6 months. And I'm sure you'll want to do that, Chad,
what
right?
What's the code so that people can manipulate that? Or the password?
What?
The password to...
What?
So that blog can be edited
yeah,
with
right
the password
oh, yeah.
What? Interesting.
We'll check in with it later.
I will be interested to see what ends up on that blog and slightly scared. Okay, so Android 9 is the offer code, squarespace.com. Check it out. You'll love it. All right, cool. Let's move on to hardware. So, the Motorola Droid Bionic.
So, Jason, did you
yes?
pick that up this week?
I did not. I didn't pick
dang
it up.
Dang it.
We lost the bet.
I flew
you're
down
gonna,
here.
You're gonna pick
for nothing.
No,
well, I sold Brianna. I said, you know what? We're gonna have the Bionic in house.
Oh, really?
You said you'd give me one.
I know. I lied.
Well, no.
It was your birthday. You were busy. You're just going to go pick it up tomorrow, right?
Oh, yeah. No. Well, no.
They had thumb rings in stock across the street.
Free thumb ring with purchase of the Motorola Droid Bionic. I feel like it's a great phone. I still can't help but feel like it's just a little bit too late knowing what I know right now. It would be hard for me to buy into the Bionic knowing that, you know, what Eric Schmidt said. You know, it's October, November, ice cream sandwich around the corner. We possibly know about the Prime.
I feel like you're breaking up with us. You know, it's like, listen.
I'm not breaking.
You're a nice phone. I'm sure it's great. I'm sure we'd work well together. But, you know, there might be something. There might be a better phone in a month or two. So I'm
telling the Droid Bionic to just kind of hang out by the phone. And so I might give it
friends.
A call sometime in the near future. But
you just
until
want to
then,
be friends.
Yeah, I just want to be friends for now. We might ramp it up a little bit. But
the love of his life might be the Prime. So
listen, Droid Bionic, if you get a text message from me at 11 o'clock, don't be surprised. That's all I'm saying.
People seem pretty happy with it,
oh,
though.
Oh yeah,
it's getting pretty good reviews. Nicole Lee, actually, she's been on the show plenty of times from CNET. She posted a video review about it and actually said it's slim, slick, powerful, fast. Was it worth the wait? Yes. Was it worth the price? We have our doubts because it's coming in at $299 with contract, which seems to be Verizon's pricing for their kind of upper tier LTE phones now. So,
well, hey, if they can get it, they're going to charge it. You know, so or at least for the next, I imagine it will probably the price will come down once these newer phones do come out.
Yeah,
but.
Yeah, possibly. There was even a deal at Costco, and it might still be going on, where you could get it for, I believe, like $260 or $270 with just a ton of like accessories, like car mount dock, extra battery, an external battery charger, all this stuff.
Amazon.
So there are deals to be had for it.
Yeah, Amazon.
And 10 pounds of rice.
10 pounds of rice. Amazon had a deal for about like $179 for the phone itself with a 2-year contract over the weekend. So it is the hot Android phone of the moment, and I have not heard many bad things about it.
Yeah.
So if you're looking to upgrade, this might be it. But I even told Leo not to get it because he's looking to upgrade.
Wow.
Yeah.
He's looking to upgrade. Again.
Again, yeah. He's unhappy with his G2X.
That guy upgrades his phone all the time.
But I think I might have sold him on the Samsung Galaxy S2. But he's going to get the Epic 4G version for Sprint, I think.
I got to admit, this video makes it look pretty snappy. I like some of the UI stuff, and it looks pretty cool.
Yeah, it really does.
Yeah. Gina, I assume you have an Android phone. What Android phone do you have?
I do. I have the Nexus S.
Okay.
Which I like very much. But, you know, like Eileen said, this may be the phone of the moment, but the moment is just so short with Android, you know?
It's
such a short moment, you know? So I try not to look too much at the newest hardware because I just feel like every week, and there's always, like, the thing that you're not sure about yet, like the Nexus Prime. And I just tend to try to stick with the kind of the Google. I had the Nexus One and the Nexus S. I will definitely drool over the Nexus Prime. Try to stick with kind of like the pure vanilla Google experience. But that looks really cool.
But you almost have to with the cost of these phones. Like until your phone breaks or your contract is up and you have an opportunity to get a deal on a phone or whatever, you can't even buy. I don't even look at it except for the research for the show. But personally, it's like, listen, I'm on the Nexus S. This is my phone until it either becomes so slow I can't use it, or it breaks, or I lose it, or whatever. You know, you just need to commit and ride it until your next one. So
actually, I was almost pulled away this summer into buying a phone off contract, the Sidekick. Mm-hmm. I had the Sidekicks back, the Sidekick 2, and I had the Sidekick 3.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Wow.
But they kind of, Andy was a hero of mine, you know, when I first had the Sidekick. But they messed it up. You need to use your thumbs to actually touch the screen sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
when
right.
You should be able to interact with the Sidekick just ignoring the screen. Like, that was the whole beauty of that phone, was you could browse any part of the phone without opening it up. And then if you wanted to type, you could flip out the screen, start writing, and then you can have all sorts of shortcuts. They still have the shortcuts, but you have to touch the screen. So you're doing this like awkward,
kind of reach over the
thumb
top
over.
Type thing.
It was really unfortunate.
Yeah.
So what phone are you using now? And I see a phone in front of me that is very interesting.
I am going retro.
Retro.
This new 2.4, this 2.3 crap. I'm 2.2. This is the Kenya phone. I got this morning. This is the $75 unlocked iDios.
See it. Yeah.
So I just got it this morning. I'm just setting it up right now. Put in the APN for AT&T. Load it on Facebook. Couldn't even load on the browser that I'm going to be taking into the arena. I couldn't even find it to load on here. It probably isn't supported by 2.2. But it's such a great, cute phone. And, I mean, it's really kind of going to revolutionize the industry.
Look at
it's
compared.
2.8.
It's a normal person's phone. It's a normal person's phone.
It is.
Yeah. Yeah. But for $75, unlocked.
It's a Huawei.
350,000 sold, at least at last count.
Now, where can you get this? You can't get it here in the U.S., right?
A friend of mine was visiting from Kenya.
Okay, there you go.
And so he brought it over to me. I owe him $75 now. Thanks, okay. Steph.
But, I mean, you can swipe. Go back to the phone here, Chad. If we look at it, so I'm just swiping back.
So they've sold 350,000 of these in Kenya.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
$75. I mean, that's, wow. I'm, you know, reading a little bit about it earlier today, just so I'd be able to talk somewhat authoritatively. And, you know, Kenyans make on average $2 a day.
Yeah.
Whoa, you're getting a call.
Oh.
Hey, I see your phone.
Sorry, Mom.
Very, very cool.
You know, this is really the beauty of Android, right? Is that you can have such high-end devices and then such low-end devices. And the reality is, you know, I think tech journalists like us, we tend to focus on, like, the hottest, newest, you know, strongest, fastest, most expensive hardware. But the fact that you can put out a phone, $75 for an unlocked phone, that's amazing. You know, running 2.2, it's great. It's great.
That's a great point I'm always trying to make when we're talking about this is that while it's great for us to look at these phones and what's cool and what's hot, the majority of the Android population are people who would totally buy that phone.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Like that's the power of Android is that it's demystifying the smartphone and you can put it in these I don't want to say cheaper handsets but more priced realistically handsets.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. The 350,000 people in Kenya is amazing.
Yeah, and, you know, I see this, and I think Android is really going to change emerging markets. Like, mm-hmm. It's not just going to be Kenya anymore. It's going to be countries around the world are going to have access to this. Because, I mean, I was in Southeast Asia 2 years ago. And there are Nokia stores all over the place. Yeah. I think we're going to see Android sweeping in there. Because they'll not be able to release Microsoft Windows phones at that price point.
Mm-hmm.
They will not be able to support that market with
that
OS.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, thank you for bringing that in.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I was like, Steph,
I was just sitting here, like, looking at it, trying to figure it out. Like, God, have I seen that
Did he root a Palm Pre and put an Android
right?
on it?
Kind of does look Palm Pre-ish.
Yeah. Right? And it feels really nice. Like, it's got, like, a nice back or a...
Oh, yeah. I do like the back.
Kind of a little bit grippier.
Like a gripped surface,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's great.
Very cool.
Cool.
All right. Well, that's the more affordable phone.
We on the other end.
On the other end, we're going to talk about a little expensive tablet called the Sony Tablet S. And we were lucky enough to have Leah Laporte sit with Suchit Gag of Sony. And she showed off the tablet to him yesterday. And we have that video right now.
But you brought this. Let me show the box here.
Yeah, the box
is great. Sony announced this. This is their first Android tablet, right?
Yep.
And it's brand new. Is it out yet?
It is. It's out for presale. It's not. You can't go to a store and buy it yet.
This is like the first time anybody's seen this.
Yeah, we're actually on a cross country tour, and I wanted this to be. I selfishly wanted to visit the Twit Studio.
Yeah, but this is like the first. It's debut.
Yeah, this is.
Hey, we got a first here, kids. So, it says I see on this PlayStation certified. What does that mean?
It means that it's the only tablet out there that is certified to play with PlayStation games, PS1 and PSP games. So right now it comes pre-installed with Crash Bandicoot,
which I love. It's a game. That's on this.
Yeah, you should look at it.
I will. Now first, let's look at the form factor a little bit. It's a wedge, which is kind of unusual. Nice textured back here for easy holding. So you're not going after the thinnest tablet in the world, but you're going after, I would guess, ergonomics, how it feels in the hand and that kind of thing.
It's really about the way you hold it, the way that you, like, live and actually work. Like, you know, you can have a cup of coffee while you're reading your tablet.
Yeah, instead of having a special cover that tilts it, it is already at an angle you can read. That's cool. All right, and it's Android, what version? 3.2?
It's Honeycomb 3. It's Honeycomb. It will be the latest version of Honeycomb.
When it comes out, it'll be 3.2. Mm-hmm. Okay. Does it have 3G in it?
So this is wireless.
Wi-Fi only right now. What's the pricing?
The price point, I believe, is $499.
It's just like an iPad.
32 gig.
Better. So you get more memory.
16 gig.
Wi-Fi only.
Yeah.
And 32 gigs compared to the iPad.
So I'm going to swipe.
Yep, there you go.
The honeycomb swipe. And here we go. Let's first of all, you can always tell how speedy a tablet. This is pretty good. Is it a Tegra 2 in here? What's the processor in this?
NVIDIA.
It's the NVIDIA Tegra 2. Okay, and it's very, very snappy. So show me some of the things that are unique, because this looks right now like, you know, a standard Android tablet.
Yeah, it is a standard Android, but I think the PlayStation side of it is pretty exciting.
I think that's intriguing. So how do I get Flash Bandicoot?
Ooh,
this is pretty. There is some customization.
I love this game.
And you have a Chumby on here, too.
Yep, Chumby widget. We do some work with Chumby.
Wow,
it's fine.
All right.
So you can see the controllers are right there.
Yeah, and it's the Sony controller. So I have the X, the square, the zero, the circle, and the triangle.
Yeah.
What do
go
I do?
Ahead.
Should I do stuff?
I want you to check it out.
I am Crash Bandicoot. Do-do-do-do-do-do. Boom. Cha-king.
So the other fun thing about it, the whole idea of, like, the Sony network of entertainment. So you have access to, like, the Reader Store as well as, like, Video Unlimited.
I killed myself already. I stink.
I see that screen all the time.
Yeah.
I've gotten better at this game.
Well, I thought I could land on the... There you go.
Oh.
Whoa. There was a pit. I didn't even see it. Okay. People are mocking me now.
It's such an addictive game.
It is fun.
I turned it on a plane once, and then I just didn't want I didn't want to get off the plane because I had made it to a certain level and didn't want to stop playing.
Okay. This is fun. I see we have a front-facing camera.
Mm-hmm. Front and back.
And I saw you were doing a little video shooting.
Yeah.
What app should I use for video shooting?
I was just doing some
you just use the camera
photos.
App?
Yeah, use the camera app.
All right.
You got to
Where is
for
it? There it is. Looks like, I mean, Sony has refined these apps a little bit, but they're very similar. This is, okay, so I'm going to take a movie.
Yeah, on the top left,
there
you can
it
do
is.
That.
Okay, video.
And then on the top right, you can decide whether
What's
you want it to
app?
Be front-facing or
Oh,
back.
I get it. I want yeah. it. Well, actually, yeah. it's kind of
Nice shot, right at the nose.
Let's do the in, and you and I can be on it here. Hey, everybody. It's me and Suchi.
I don't know what camera to look at.
Look at that
There's
one.
So many cameras.
Look at that
right
one.
Here.
That one right there.
Yeah, but you're looking over there.
No, I'm looking
I don't
at
know
that
where
one.
Leo's looking.
I'm looking at this camera right
okay,
here.
Okay.
I was just looking at the TV. I was cheating. I was looking at the TV to see if I'm on the camera. Okay. This is nice. This is going to be called what? Just the Sony tablet?
It's the Sony Tablet S.
The Sony Tablet S.
Yeah.
$499 for 32 gigs Wi-Fi. Available when? How soon?
Available for pre-sale now and soon.
That's handling the motion
Very
actually
soon.
Quite well. That looks
that
really
was going
good.
Across the bridge this morning.
Yeah. That looks great.
Yeah. It was really fun to come here. Just driving here and everything.
It's pretty up here.
Yeah, it's gorgeous, and I love the overcast day, too.
This is 16.9. It's not 4.3. It's definitely 16.9. You've got
there.
Volume here mm-hmm. and the on-off button here. Not, you know what? That's kind of nice because they're under the lip there, so you're not going to hit them by accident.
Mm-hmm.
There's a reset button, which is nice to have. And wait a minute. What's this? What the heck is this here? It looks like there's an SD card slot as well as a micro. That's a standard micro USB connector, right, for charging. That's cool. So I could put an SD card in there.
Yes.
Cool.
I should let you play your pinball game.
No. What else? What does it do?
When you have the videos that you've taken, right,
yeah.
you can fling them over to your TV. So once you've paired it, you can just give it a little swift, like, push, and it'll go wirelessly from your device and play back on your television.
I'm sorry. Were you talking to me?
That was so important. I can't believe you missed that.
This is fun. Eat your heart out, Jerry Ellsworth. Wow. So thank you very much, Sukhjit Gog from Sony. Sony blogger extraordinaire.
Thank you.
You're never getting this tablet back. This is very nice. I like this game. Really fun. Oh, my goodness.
I love being here. It was my dream. It really was after that whole studio unveiling.
Pretty cool,
I was like,
huh?
I'm going
Pretty
there.
Cool. Pretty cool. And now we take you back to Jason and Eileen, which are already in progress.
Which are already in progress.
And the rest of the team.
That tablet,
little did
you
know, there was gonna be five people on.
Yeah. I got to hold that tablet. It's actually pretty light. It's 1.3 ounces. Again, it's $499 for pre-sale right now. 9.4-inch touchscreen. The photos that I had seen earlier
here were a little misleading because I see the wedge and I thought, oh, this is going to be a little clunky, a little heavy. But it's not, actually. It's a little bit, the design is really nice. It's actually slim. It feels good in your hands. And there is, it's, as you can imagine, it's going to be able to pair up with many Sony devices, like the TVs, you know, audio equipment, laptops, I'm sure, and there's a universal remote with it. And I guess the flickering in the video that you guys saw there, that was because of our camera looking at it. The video is actually quite nice.
The refresh wasn't synced.
Yeah, it wasn't synced. So,
what was that bit she was talking about with the swiping for video when Leo was playing the pinball the pinball game? Like, you could swipe?
Well, it sounded... It sounded like AirPlay, basically.
Yeah.
With other Sony devices.
But I wonder if they're using tungsten. Like, is it going to work for anything, or is it proprietary Sony?
Yeah, another thing that we cut was that you in the settings, you could see how... we had to cut for time. But he went into the TV settings, and a long list of televisions, including our Vizios here.
Awesome.
That's good.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, great. Brand.
Yeah. So,
I wonder how that would pair with my Sony Google TV Blu-ray player. Like, with the, you know, if they're both running Android, they probably would be able to talk.
I think they should talk, right?
So, yeah. Interesting.
Interesting player in the market. Sony is a big name. Obviously, if you're a Sony fanboy, fangirl, this might be, you know, for you. It's a little steep. $499 price tag. I think people are kind of like, ouch.
Could be steeper.
It could be steeper.
And we would laugh at it immediately if it was, because any of those tablets that come out above kind of that $500 price point, it's kind of like, well, why are you going to spend that much on a tablet compared to all the rest of them out on the market right now? So,
but I was pleasantly surprised. So there you go. That was the Sony Tablet S, and we were looking at the 16 gig, and it's up for pre-order right now on Sony.com. Now, we're going to move into email, and this is kind of related to tablets here. This is actually a G+ request here from Aaron Berlin, who says, how about a discussion of the oncoming Philadelphia Inquirer GameStop/Amazon-led assault on the subsidized cheap Android tablets. Anyone? Anyone? So, and it's funny because I just got a press release today for that Philadelphia Inquirer tablet for I think $99. I'm going to look it up.
Yeah, starting at $99. Buy the tablet starting at $99.
Yeah. So you get the subscription.
Only 5,000 available.
Only 5,000 available. Okay. Yeah. Wi-Fi ready. The Arnova 10G2 Android tablet with web browser, email access, HD multimedia, and valuable preloaded apps, such as the Amazon App Store is in there. Other stuff that I don't think I normally use, eMusic, Dealio.
They're getting the price of the tablet down by those services paying to be on the tablet.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's nothing new. You know, we've seen that before. It's the bloatware. But hey, $99 for a tablet? That's awesome.
Well, yeah, just take a look at the touchpad. People are willing to spend $99 for a tablet, you know, for sure.
And GameStop just announced that they were going to prepare their own tablet, but they don't have any specs yet that we know of. But they're prepping their own tablet that's supposed to run Android as well. So that, if you're a gamer, I'm sure might be, you know, up your alley. But it's interesting. And then with Amazon, you get Amazon Prime with their tablet. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. Thoughts? Based on the question here, thoughts on the lead assault of subsidized
low cost. I feel like that's the wrong word to use. I don't know if it's an assault. I think it's just the market playing out. I think it's a great option. And if you don't mind getting some software preloaded on your device, you can save a lot of money and for $100 get a pretty good device.
There were a lot of people that were pretty happy with People PC. If you remember People PC back in the day where, you know, you basically got a free PC as long as you were willing to have all this crazy crap loaded onto there. I mean, you know, at the end of the day, this is just going to get more tablets into more people's hands. And it's kind of the promise of Android, right, is that it's a low cost of entry for anybody that wants to do this type of stuff. So great. I know that people kind of get hung up on the fact that, like with Amazon, for instance, they're, like, completely changing the look and feel of, you know, and skinning it and all that kind of stuff. I don't know. I guess that's the price you pay for a lower price point, and maybe it's not all that bad. Maybe if you are an Amazon freak, you know, is everything Amazon, you actually want all of those changes. It's not necessarily a bad thing.
Hey, and Amazon has got some great designers. I don't know if you've seen the updated Amazon.com design, but
I saw it online.
It's not only is it super sleeker, it's also very tablet friendly. It looks very tablet friendly.
It's very tablet friendly.
I'm excited about the Amazon tablet. I think it's a great idea to have. It's a good thing to have a wide range of tablets, right? Like you have the high end tablets and the low end tablets. And I think now that tablets are in the market long enough, that people have an idea of what they want them for. You know, totally. Is this a productivity device? Is this a gaming device? Is this a multimedia device? I think that these are kind of shaking out. Like the Sony's feels like a multimedia gaming device. The Google tablets, you know, the pure Google tablets feel like productivity devices as well as, you know, other things. I think that people now know what they want their tablets for, and they have a price range, and I think it's good that they have choices.
Especially when you consider tablets for $100, then you almost don't need a reason. You don't need a use case for it. It's within that realm for a lot of people. It's more within that realm to be just kind of an impulse, like, well, why not? You know, it's totally affordable, and developers have got to be really happy about that.
Well, and Amazon isn't even the first to take Android and make kind of their own OS.
Sure.
There is the Ophone product project out of China, and then Baidu, which is the number one search engine in China right now, just announced last week, I think, that they are releasing Baidu Yi, which I could be butchering, which is based on Android.
Yeah.
So we're going to see more and more of those.
Yeah.
And I'd prefer something based around Android than, say, them creating their own OS, like WebOS, which then is totally siloed.
Mm-hmm.
This way, Android developers can take apps, and I can have Angry Birds on every tablet.
Completely.
Yep.
And then you're going to see Skype and things like, you know, home productivity. Imagine, you know, people who have kids who live cross country from their parents. They want the grandparent. You know, like you're going to buy a computer just so you can Skype, and you could buy it $99 for a tablet.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and use any sort of video chatting and stuff like that. I think that's totally going to open up the market as well, like home, like casual home users.
Yep.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep. All right, let's move on to our next email. Right, Ron?
Yes, I love a good email that's a success story. This email comes from Tim Witters, who writes in about his recent experience with Lookout, an app that we talked about on our previous show. And Tim says that his brother's phone got stolen in school, and when he came home, he started locating the phone via the Lookout app. The phone was turned off, so no luck at first. But then he also had remotely installed the Plan B app from Lookout that we also mentioned a few episodes ago. And when the thief turned the phone on, it installed the app, and he got an email with the GPS coordinates of the phone. Turns out the address of the GPS coordinates was a classmate of his brother's. And they found that they matched the address up to who the person was. So he went to the police with all the information. After carefully explaining what he did, and was lucky that the policeman believed the story, which is probably the hardest aspect of the story, to get the policeman to believe what was going on. They called the parents of the kid to come to the police station, and the kid admitted that he had stolen the phone, and he returned it. So Lookout just saved a Galaxy S and gave his excuse to buy the S2. And so now Tim is saying that he's going to buy a premium license for Lookout. He says, keep up the good work. He loves the show. So glad to see the apps are recommending or paying off and helping people recover their stolen phones. So.
And how. My gosh,
happens every
awesome.
Day. Thanks for the email, Tim. All right. Well, I guess it's time for apps. I just wanted to take a little bit of time to talk about alternative stores. And GetJar, which I know a lot of people have used a couple months ago just to download Cut the Rope for free, and then they stopped using it. Well, they just launched last Thursday. They just launched a gold tier of top paid Android apps that are actually free on their site. So, I'll give you a couple of app recommendations based on my experience. But I went on to GetJar, and I downloaded a app called Papersnap, which is a really cool app and camera app. Paper camera. Sorry. I like this app. And what it does is you take a picture, and you can, you know, have various filters that are kind of cartoon-like. And you can see
kind of like drawing with pencil or paint, paintbrush,
or whatever. Anyways, it's normally $1.90 in the Android marketplace, but you could get it free on GetJar. So great. Well, you know, I have an issue with it because I want to go ahead and import photos that I already have in my camera phone, and then put them here, and then apply the filter and whatnot. Oh well, you know what? I just need the app update. Oh well, I don't get the app update on GetJar.
But if I had it, if I had downloaded it on the Android Marketplace, I would have the app update. I can't show you right now, but another good app that you recommended to me, because I'm obsessed with knowing what the updates are for apps, and I don't want to go into every, you know, in the marketplace and go, oh, what's this new update? What's this new update? Mm-hmm. It's called Changelog. And so it gives me a notification bar, and I don't have it here right now. But in my notification bar, I swipe down, and then I can see, and it lists all of my app updates and what is being updated within the app. Mm-hmm. So I noticed that it actually showed me, hey, there's an update for Paper Camera. I thought, oh, well, that's interesting, because I'm on GetJar and there's nowhere for me to find a place to update. Well, I went on and I tweeted out to GetJar, and they said, hey, it's up to the developers. They log in and update themselves. Update notifications are coming very, very soon. Okay. So I guess the point of this is, hey, okay, they've got these paid Android apps for free, but in the long run right now, I almost don't suggest you, you know, you can maybe try out the app for a little bit, and then mm-hmm. if you really like it, go back and buy it. First of all, support your developer, and that's what I'm going to do with this Paper Camera app, because I want to get this update, because I want to import my photos onto this really cool app. And I don't know, what do you guys think? I'm curious to think what you guys, especially you, Gina, since you're a developer, you've got, oh, and congratulations for your app to do text making the homepage of the Android Marketplace, by the way.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
Have you, now I know you put your app on Amazon. Have you thought about GetJar at all? Is there any reason why you would or wouldn't?
Well, it's funny that you bring this up. So I added my app to the Android Market and then to the Amazon App Store when that came out. And the Market, by far, most of my sales happen on the Market. And I think I've made a grand total of like $17 from the App Store, from the Amazon App Store. Amazon. Wow. And I've been kind of, as a result, I've been kind of lazy about updating it. And in fact, sure. I may be a version behind on the App Store. I may have to go into the Amazon App Store and update now that you told this story. It's just, you know, if you have a market, an alternative market that's just not as busy, that you're just not hearing, you know, you're not getting reviews, you don't have a lot of sales, just as a developer, especially an indie developer like myself, this is just kind of a weekend project. It's just, you're just less motivated, or you forget to, you know, to update it everywhere. And also the Amazon, because it's approval based, I can upload my update this afternoon and it might be a week or two before they actually approve it, which is kind of a bummer as well. So, it sucks. It really is up to the developer. But from a developer's perspective, you have to be really diligent about updating everything, especially for, you know, the thing about paid apps being free in a giveaway situation like with GetJar is, like, you know, you get a whole lot of users, which is awesome. You also get a whole lot of bug reports, and you don't see any revenue. So there's less motivation to do those updates, of course. Totally. So, you know, it's hard. It's kind of tough all around. I'm really excited for the Amazon tablet, because I think that the App Store will really come into its own at that point, because tons of people are going to buy that tablet. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what the future for stores like GetJar are going to be. I mean, I think the more markets, the better, right? I want to see these markets compete with one another in terms of terms and distribution and all that. But yeah, as developers, we just have to be more diligent about updating. So I apologize to everyone who bought to the five people who bought my app on the Amazon App Store for not updating. And sorry about your experience, Eileen.
You actually have touched on an issue that a number of developers talked about, which is just having common store APIs mm-hmm. and the number of app stores that they find, they get notified that their app is in. Like, if you have an open source Android product, a friend of mine does K9, he ended up in about 30 different app stores. Oof. And he had no control over most of them.
Mm-hmm. You know, it reminds me a lot of the podcast Wild West a couple of years ago, like in like 06, 07, 08, when there was a lot of podcast aggregators out there. And I would get notifications that my podcast was submitted in like on all these various websites mm-hmm. out there. And I'm just like, I didn't submit it there. And so then that's another place you got to control the metadata. That's another place, you know. So it seems like a similar thing where, you know, the users are so are evangelistic about the apps they use, and they just submit them to these open source app stores. And sometimes the developer, like you said, developer doesn't even know. It's fascinating.
Right. It seems like also just kind of a double-edged sword for developers. You want as much exposure as possible for your app, so you definitely want to put it in front of as many eyeballs as possible. And, you know, you do that through these multiple markets. But like you said, Gina, you know, if the motivation isn't there, if you aren't getting the type of numbers, you know, that make going in there and spending a lot of time really refining it and doing what you need to do to kind of bring it up to date and everything, then it's, I mean, you only have so much time. It's one person a lot of these times, you know, a one or two person team creating these apps. It's not like this is their full-time job. This is a part-time thing that they might be doing. So
Also, I think GetJar was just pulled from the Android marketplace. I actually downloaded it straight from their mobile site, and I couldn't, it wasn't allowing me, it didn't give me permissions to download it with my current phone through the Android marketplace earlier, and now it's gone.
Huh.
So, I don't know, maybe there's stuff happening. Yep, sorry. It's gone. You can go, if you really want, you can go to getjar.com and just, you know, download the APK file, but it's not available anymore on the Android market. So there's stuff going on.
All right. Well, just really quick here. Netflix, you probably already heard by now, their app now supposedly supports all 2.1 and 2.2 devices. They had kind of...
I'm going to find out right now.
Yeah, let's do it.
Pardon me.
I would love to see. I know that it works. I mean, it was working on my Thunderbolt. But Eileen, you were having a little bit of trouble with it earlier. But...
Oh, yeah. With the latest update, I don't know, Netflix, if you can help me out here, but I, I went ahead and, I guess we're rolling into our next sponsor,
yeah, we might as
which
well.
Is Netflix. But really excited that one of my favorite shows, Breaking Bad, is currently on Netflix. And so I tried to play it on my phone, and I was getting an error message. Let's see if I get the error message or not. And it happened on some... no, not getting the error message. It's working. It happens on some videos and not than others. But anyways.
So maybe they're still ironing it out. But
yeah.
Brady, you go ahead and continue, I guess, installing that. We'll see.
Yeah, I am busy doing science over here.
As we talk about Netflix.
Yeah, well, Netflix does stream thousands of TV episodes and movies directly to you and to your Android device, as we're talking about here. Saves you time, saves you money, hassle. There are just a ton of ways that you can actually get this instant streaming access. You can get it through your Mac, your PC, your phone, iPhone, Android. I get it through my PlayStation 3 at home, Xbox 360, Roku devices. There's just tons of devices that are all working with Netflix to bring you the instant streaming. And I don't know. They've just got a gigantic library online. If you also want to get the mailed DVD version of the service as well, you can kind of tack that on as well. So it's really kind of tailored to what you want. And you can try it out for 30 days for free. So you can get, you know, all this instant streaming completely free for 30 days if you go to netflix.com/twit. And be sure to use that URL. That'll get you the free trial. netflix.com/twit. And what you looking at?
No, I'm still watching Breaking Bad. So so my confession is that I had a TV crush. My old TV crush was, and you know this, Gina, it was Darren Criss of Glee. But I think I changed my mind. I really have a TV crush on Aaron Paul of Breaking Bad. So there you go. There's my confession.
that is nothing compared to the Step Up 3D confession. Come on.
That is true.
We're talking straight up Teen Beat now, you know?
Okay. I also watched Switch to Birth, an ABC Family show. It was actually good, and it's on streaming.
Those ABC Family shows are wonderfully wholesome, apparently. I've heard good things,
It actually wasn't that wholesome. There was there was some sexy
edgy
times. There was a little sexy times in the
some
ABC
sexy times
show. Well, I don't even want to get into the premise of that show, but yeah.
We know too much. We know enough.
There's another confession right there.
There you go.
Next week, we'll get Jason's confession.
Yes.
I still wear a thumb ring. That'll probably be my confession next week. All right. Well, let's take an email, and if you get that installed, just let us know, Brady. We'll take a look at it real quick.
I'm working on it.
All right. No worries.
Science is slow sometimes.
Understood. Let's see here. So we got an email. Oh, man, and I didn't paste in the name, but you'll know who you are. I was watching Jason's entry about Tasker. He started with an email about someone wanting to schedule his ringer to be off during a class. I have a similar situation where I work in a bank, and I literally could be fired if they hear my phone ring. I've been using Silent Time for a very long time, and it is flawless. It's super easy to set up, has never failed me. Before I got it, I was either at risk of getting fired or missing important calls, like forgetting to pick up my wife or her friends from her friend's house. I know, I suck.
Oh, man.
Even though Tasker is a great app, I think that Silent Time would be a whole lot better for the writer. And I just thought this was good to include, because there are apps that don't give you the breadth of abilities as Tasker does. If you were getting Tasker just to do that one thing, then you'd probably be missing the point a little bit. Tasker is meant for a whole lot more than just one single application. This is a good way to do just the thing that you wrote in for that we covered on last week's show. So, that app is Silent Time. Check it out in the Android market. That is that. Should we get the arena going?
It's time for the arena.
Let's battle.
Two enter, one lives. Android Arena.
Boom. All right, well, I'm going to do some magic on the back end. But first of all, let's see here. Let's take a look at last week's poll. Last week's poll, we had more of a grab bag. We usually do that on our feedback episodes. And let's see here. So we've got the entrants were Tasker, Muffin Knight, and Deathworm. Three totally and completely different types. Well, two games and one total productivity type thing. And Tasker did come out ahead, 62% of votes.
We predicted that.
Yeah, kind of knew. Yeah. I mean, Tasker has a very passionate audience. Muffin Knight came in second place at 22%. Deathworm, close third at 16%.
Both great games. You know, you should just get all three apps.
Yeah, totally. Boom.
Boom.
Every transition in the arena will be with an explosion. And I will also just mention really quick that the poll
Brazil.
Page for last week's Android Arena, bit.ly/poll21AAA. Somebody posted a couple of really good links in there for Google pages that are all around kind of community around Tasker and ways that you can use Tasker, or groups rather. They're groups.google.com. So check out that poll page and you can kind of find some new ways to use that app.
Yeah, thank you Brazil and Italy for voting for my the one person in Brazil.
They're there for you. Yeah.
Brazil's always for me.
That person is for you. Yeah. All right, so this week we're going to touch on browsers, which is a very popular category. And we have quite a few in here, and I think we're kind of covering the big ones here. I guess the thing that we'll have to try and do is speed through them, because now instead of three, we have five. So I'm not going to dive super deep into mine. I'll just go ahead and get it started. Dolphin Browser HD. And I've been using this for quite a while. They actually did just come out with kind of a revision to it not too long ago, and they just changed a lot of UI features on it. And it makes it kind of look really slick, and I've been liking it a lot. One thing to know about Dolphin is that it uses Android's built-in HTML rendering component. So basically what that means is it's very comparable from a browsing perspective to what you're used to getting on stock. So if you actually get really good results with stock, it wouldn't hurt to also check out Dolphin, because it might have some other features that stock doesn't have that you like. For instance, you can notice up at the top of this, you can see a tab there, very similar to the tabs that you get in your desktop browser experience, with a little plus button so that you can add them all. I find the tabs to be extremely handy. The main problem being that, of course, you can only fit so many tabs on the screen at once, but you can scroll through them if you need to. So the tabs are kind of the one like big characteristic of Dolphin that I see people flocking to it. Another thing that's really popular about Dolphin is its add-on library. It's very easy to kind of swipe to the side. You can pull this side of the screen contextual menu, and you can add add-ons to it in much in the same way that you could do, you know, plugins to Chrome or Firefox on your desktop. For instance, I have a LastPass Premium account, and there is a Dolphin HD add-on for LastPass Premium that literally allows me to use my LastPass account and fill out password forms using the browser on mobile. And
that's,
I'm sure,
really cool.
It's really cool, because I don't know how many times I've had to enter in some really long password, you know, by hand and remember it. And I mean, it's never fun on a phone. So to have that be able to automatically fill in those fields is just really cool. There's gesture-based commands, and I'll admit I never use these. Anytime I try and use them, so that takes me to Facebook, apparently, and that's that's my wife's. Go ahead and take that out. Okay, so you know, gestures. I never really get a whole lot of kind of use out of gestures. I just don't feel the need to do gestures, especially because you have to press this little button down here to pull up the gesture kind of interface. So it's kind of like two things you know, for instance, you could set up a gesture that adds a tab to the top. I could just hit the plus button. Why do I need to like hit that button and then do the gesture? I'm sure there are plenty of other reasons why it's super handy, and I know a lot of people like gestures in Dolphin HD, but it's just not my cup of tea. It's not something that I really flock to. Configuration-wise, there are a ton of configurations in here. Settings is just filled. These are all kind of your categories: Dolphin settings, page content, You know, there's just a ton of stuff in here, and if you flip it down, I mean, it scrolls and scrolls and scrolls. Things like turning your volume rocker into, you know, different functions that are more browser specific, like scrolling up, scrolling down. You can change your user agent if you don't want it to identify as Android and get a different type of page. Just a ton of settings in here if you want to get kind of geeky and under the hood and really kind of change things that way. And then if you'll notice, let me go back to the main tab here. There's a couple of new features here on the front. First of all, I'll just point this out real quick. On the left-hand side, if you swipe over, you get your bookmarks bar. But very similar to that, on this main landing page, there's something called speed dial, and this would be things that you just want to appear, you know, when you open up a new tab, and obviously these would be things that you go to all the time. For instance, All About Android on twit.tv. You know, you might go there all the time. I'm sure that you do. And if so, you could put that onto your speed dial, and it takes you there. I'm not going to let it load. And then WebZine, or WebZine, actually. I don't know why I just called it WebZine. I used to have something here. I don't know why I don't anymore. But I'm going to go ahead and put CNN Fortune down there. There we go. That's what I'm used to seeing. So it's essentially, it's a glorified RSS reader. But it really kind of makes it look usable and enjoyable to use. If you don't already have another RSS reader kind of solution, this is a good way to do it. You know, kind of makes it a little bit more colorful and graphical to kind of go through there. But obviously, if the feed that you're reading truncates and you have to go to the original article, then it'll just open it up in the web browser that you're already in. So it's very handy. And I'm just going to go ahead and keep it at that. I mean, Dolphin HD is a super powerful, pretty fast browser. I've tried many different browsers, and I always seem to kind of come back to it at some point. And especially this last change that they made, if you have a tablet, if you have a Honeycomb tablet, they do have their app is Honeycomb optimized. So that ends up being really cool, having those tabs, you know, in a Honeycomb tablet environment. It just kind of feels right to have it like that. So that's Dolphin Browser HD, and it's free in the marketplace.
And I think that about does it for the arena section, because that is probably going to win.
Yes.
Yeah, it's like, I'm sold. I'm like, forget what I wrote down on the spreadsheet. That's it. I'm done.
So, all right. Anyways, thank you very much for joining. No, I'm kidding. All right, I guess it's my turn.
Yeah. And, don't be so glum.
Now before I talk about it, this, I just want to show you, this is Changelog Droid. This is the app that I mentioned that comes and it comes on your notification bar. You drop it down, and then you see all the apps, and they give you a description of what will be updated. And I want to scroll, and there it is, Paper Camera, the app that I was talking about that I can't update because
GetJar. So all those changes are there, but
all those changes
they don't
there.
Represent any update that you get in.
I don't get it with GetJar. I have to go get it in the Android marketplace.
Right.
So it's interesting that Changelog found that. I love this app, by the way, because I'm just obsessed with finding out the updates of all my apps and not having to do that one by one.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
In the marketplace.
I'm happy that worked for you.
So, anyways, all right. Well, my app is called Mirin. Miren, and look at that. Isn't it? Doesn't it have a pretty icon? Okay, so that's my app. No, I'm sorry. I shouldn't shortchange it. Really, Mirin is a very sort of minimalistic browser, and if you don't need too many bells and whistles and you want something that runs pretty fast, this might be your app. So, like Jason, there's tabs, and I'm kind of scrolling back and forth, but you can also do it with a gesture. Well, you're supposed to be able to do it with a gesture. There you go. But I don't have an app here. Why do my... There we go. And there are various things that they like to highlight, like there's an in-house brightness display within the app itself. You don't have to go into settings to do that. So if you're, I don't know, you walk into a dark room and you need to change your brightness, you can do that within the app, not having to go into settings for that. Volume button page scroll controls. You can scroll with your volume button. You can swipe forward and back between each page. I was trying to do that, but I don't have anything loaded. But let me try and load something here. T-Mobile site. And you can see how fast it is. So if I just swipe left to right, then I can go back to the other page. Yeah, it's kind of a nice feature there. And again, full tab browser support. And in the home page, let's see if I can get to that. It's not going to that very well here. They give you tabs. They give you, let me see here. For some reason, it's not working for me.
Love the live demos. But you can basically use this as an RSS reader as well. You can go into the settings here, and there are ways to save home pages. There we go. This is the page I'm looking for. So you can find your top sites. It'll kind of, as you browse, kind of, you know, help you in smart discovery of sites that you may like. And you can add. So here I can go ahead and add twit.tv/AAA to that sort of landing doc page, and I'll always have that there because, like you said, Jason, who doesn't want to go to twit.tv/AAA, right? So totally. It's loading right there, and it'll always be on this doc page. Top sites, you can see your histories, your downloads. This thing supports Flash, and here's the RSS feeds that I was mentioning earlier. It's not as sexy as yours, Jason, but you can kind of customize it based on your interests, your categories. And there's also an offline mode as well. I haven't really done much categorizing of this yet. They've given me their sites that they think I'm going to want to peruse daily, like TechCrunch and All Things D and Cute Overload. So thank you very much. We'll change that. And apart from that, they tout, Pinch and Zoom. So let me go here. You can do this with yours, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Everybody can. And, you know, regular bookmark import, export via SD card as well. So that is Mirin browser. A lot of people love this browser for its simplicity. So if that's what you need, you don't need any more bells and whistles, then maybe this is for you. So that's Mirin in the marketplace, Mirin, and it is free.
Sweet.
All right. Up next, that would be Ron with Firefox.
Yes, so, you know, if anything's going to topple a no-name browser like Dolphin, I figure it's the one with one of the most well-known browsers out there. Basically, if you are a Mozilla Firefox user and you have an Android phone, there is no reason why you're not using Firefox on your Android phone. Mozilla has done a lot to make the Firefox mobile version really work in sync with your desktop version, and I think that's one of the biggest advantages, but that only applies to Firefox users. I use Chrome, so it wasn't much of a attractive feature for me, but I recognize the value of it. You can sync all of your bookmarks and your history and your custom list of search engines and all that sort of stuff, all your specs from, hey, there's our rundown, all your specs from your desktop browser can get ported, just immediately synchronized to your phone, to your Firefox installation, which is really sweet. I remember when this first came out, it was, do you remember how big of a download it was?
It was
like a hella download. Like it was at least, I think the first version I downloaded was like 60 meg, and then it got down to 30 meg. Well, the current version that's available in the marketplace is only a 14 meg download.
That's
move it. Yeah, you can move it to your USB card in your phone, so it doesn't take up any. If you've got a good SD card in your phone, you're not going to take up any space at all of that 14 meg. And I got to admit, it's a pretty. It started out kind of buggy, started out kind of shaky, but now it's pretty snappy. If you swipe to the left, you get your tab view, so you can control your and skip around to your tabs from there. And if you put swipe left again to put that away, and then swipe to the right, you get your bookmarks. And there you can easily add bookmarks and click on your bookmarks and go from there. Really interesting use of the swiping functionality. You have the ability to install any add-ons that are compatible with Mozilla Firefox mobile version. So all your ad blockers, things like that, all those great developer extensions that are out there for Firefox, a lot of them have been ported to the mobile version so you can use them. It's got the Mozilla customizable personas, so you can customize the look and feel of your browser, make it look how you want it to. It goes to a great full screen view, so all the browser controls get the hell out of the way, so you can just you just look at the website. It's got pinch and zoom and all that sort of stuff that's in there. If you hit the menu button down at the bottom, you'll see that it's got sharing just right out of the gate, so you can immediately go share things. It brings up the standard Android sharing bar, so you can tweet out web pages, add them to your email or whatnot. Like I said, if you're a Firefox user, you're going to like it. Also, the big selling point, at least for Firefox users, is They've taken the awesome bar and they've ported that to the home screen on Firefox, where now it's the awesome page. So when the browser starts up, you see immediate jump links to all of your favorite websites. And it makes it really easy to use, really easy to quick to get to sites like Firefox and things like that. I mean, things like Facebook and Twitter, whatever you might be using in your browser. So again, Firefox users on the desktop, sync all your stuff to your mobile device and browse seamlessly from the desktop to the phone.
Cool.
And it's free. So,
you know what?
There you
go. It's much better than I remember, because
it is.
And it actually works on my phone. Does it work? It works really well on your Nexus S as well.
Yeah,
I know it was having a lot of trouble early on our phone.
I used it all this weekend. I had no crashes. I had no lag. I think a part of it was moving it to the SD card. I recently did a wholesale move to the SD card of all my apps that I could. So I freed up a lot of system memory, a lot of memory on the phone itself. And it syncs pretty nicely. And almost to the point where I'm like, maybe I'll start using Firefox on my desktop to do the syncing stuff, because that's really cool.
Yeah.
I like, you know, and I'm surprised Chrome and the standard stock browser haven't integrated that yet. Yeah. I mean, I know we have Chrome to phone, but it's not a seamless sync yet. So, Firefox is sexy.
Very cool. Thank you, Ron. Now, Brady, you got to go.
Unfortunately, yeah.
Yeah, you were going to show off Skyfire,
it's going to be pretty. It'll be pretty quick.
Okay.
Pretty quick and simple. So Skyfire is a pretty basic browser. Sorry if you guys are listening, you feel offended by that, but that's my take on it. You've got tabs.
Here.
Oh, sorry.
There we go.
You got tabs. One thing I really like about it is I can change the user agent. So when you get to one click, just mm-hmm. to access that.
Mm-hmm.
But their main feature, which I've been quite honestly having problems figuring out how to get it to stay up, is a little bar that gives you quick access to Facebook, Twitter. Here we go. And seems like switching between pages sometimes brings it back up. So I can go to Twitter. And then I can also flick over here. And Fireplace shows me all the links that my friends in my network of Twitter and Facebook have. There we go.
Oh, okay.
Oh, cool.
And then
so
it's also
kind of
got,
like a social stream.
Yeah.
It's a combined social stream of some sort.
Yeah. Just the links and then Google Reader integration. So pretty simple browser. Pretty nice.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it kind of reminds me of Rockmelt in that way.
Yeah.
Like kind of going down the same path. Mm-hmm. I would use it again, but not sure that it would be the horse I would pick in the poll.
Well, I remember when the first I heard about Skyfire, at least as far as Android is concerned, was that they were... No, actually, this was with iPhone, where they were kind of doing
flash
encoding on the back end, and maybe it was before the Flash plugin was like official with Android, but
mm-hmm.
But yeah, they were kind of doing this like transcoding on the back end on their server side so that you could watch Flash videos before you could. So that was kind of when I first heard of them, but there's still a lot of people that swear by Skyfire, so.
Very cool.
Awesome.
Well, we'll let you take off.
Yeah, sorry we kept you so long.
Oh, no, this was great to be here.
go ahead and let everybody know where they could find you online and you know, give another plug for Android Open, I guess.
All right. Well, I'm Brady on Twitter, so I'm pretty easy to find that way, brady@o'reilly.com. And we're still looking for people to show off their apps at Android Open, mm-hmm. Do Ignite Talks, which are those 5-minute talks, 20 slides, 15 seconds a slide. The actual conference is in San Francisco from October 9th to the 11th. And that discount code again is AN11BGDA. And I would just like to formally invite the two of you and you two, Ron, and well, Gina, you were already invited, but now you're busy, to come to Android Open and do a show there if you wanted to.
Wow.
Oh, wow. I think that could be a lot of fun. We could try and figure it out. And
mm-hmm. All right.
Cool.
Well, let's
talk about it.
Either way, thanks a ton for having me here. This was great.
And absolutely.
Take care, everyone.
Right on. Brady Forrest of O'Reilly. Thank you so much for stopping by.
And
I'm
findable
really
in Seattle.
Okay.
Right on. Thanks again.
All right.
Thank you.
So as we let Brady go, Gina, I got to say, actually, your app could possibly beat Dolphin.
You think?
It might.
Well, so my confession was going to be that I generally, probably just mostly due to laziness, use the stock browser.
Yeah.
And I was going to argue that that was totally adequate. But then I thought, oh, actually, I don't always use the stock browser. I love LastPass. Mm-hmm. And I often find myself in the LastPass browser. The thing is, LastPass isn't really an alternative browser. It's a password manager. Right. It just happens to have a browser built into it. So whenever I have to log into something and I don't remember the password, and honestly, I don't remember any of my passwords now because I just depend on LastPass so much. Totally. I know it's safe and encrypted. I wound up just launching LastPass and, you know, going to the site and using the built-in browser. It's not the prettiest thing in the world. In fact, I just installed Dolphin watching Jason's demo. It's not nearly as pretty as Dolphin, and I had no idea that Dolphin had a LastPass extension. So okay. I think actually I have changed my mind in the course of the conversation.
Sorry about that.
No, but that said, I often find myself in the LastPass, that, you know, I bought a premium account, which is super cheap. It's like $12 a year or something. It's like a buck a month. And I usually find myself using that built-in browser, which has tabs, and you just search for a site, and it stores all your passwords securely, and you can keep secure notes in there as well. So if you wanted to store like your PIN number or locker combination, you could do that as well. So its primary purpose is password manager, but it has a built-in browser.
Right.
So that was my pick, but I think after the show, I'm going Dolphin.
Well, I hope that you like it. Who knows? You might flip-flop back and forth, because I've gone to Dolphin and then gone away thinking that I was going to find something better. But, you know, I ended up coming back with this last revision. And I have used the LastPass browser that specifically. The hard part that I had with it is launching into just the browser. Like, is there an icon that you can use to just launch right into LastPass browser, or you have to enter through app?
Yeah, you go, the app opens, and the first thing you do is like enter the site that you have a password, username and password for. That's why I use a combination with the stock browser. I generally just use the stock browser, but then, if I have to log into GitHub or whatever, I'm going to LastPass. So it's actually kind of a clunky solution. It's not really meant to be a browser.
Well, in that case, it ends up being kind of a password manager, but also a bookmark kind of tool.
Right, a bookmark manager, a launcher. Right, exactly. Yeah.
I just want to chime in. I do believe there's a LastPass extension for Firefox. So you can go down that route if you want. I'm just doing my campaigning. I'm just trying to stay competitive here. So I'm just saying, it's there.
I had no idea that Firefox actually got to be workable, because I tried Firefox when it first came out, and I was like, this is horrible, but I'm actually really glad to hear that it's doing well. And that sync is a big thing for me. That syncing bookmarks is a huge advantage to that.
Yeah, the little that I just played with it right now, I downloaded it knowing that you were going to show it off, Ron, and I wanted to show it off for you. I was very surprised myself. It's
impressive.
And it was exactly the promise that that video, the promo video, gave months and months ago, and then I just kind of tossed it away and said, screw Firefox. This sucks. It doesn't work. It crashes. It actually loaded our site well. It's done pretty well. So
they did a lot of rapid development on it to improve a lot of the bugs and make it a tighter package at 14 meg. It's not the clunky thing that it was when it first came out. And it's got LastPass extensions. It's got a lot of the stuff Dolphin has that's in there. I'm just saying, check out Firefox. You might want to come back.
I need a little sign. Vote for me. Vote for Firefox. Vote for me.
I got to be careful, though, because I can't win this week, because that means I can't be on the show next week if I win this week.
Yeah, anytime win, you just don't end up on the next show for some reason. I haven't figured that thing out yet. Well, there you have it. You know, we left out one big one that I'm sure we're going to get some emails about, Opera. And that's Opera. You know, there are a lot of Opera fans, so we're sorry, Opera fans.
I thought about it, and then
there were only so many of us covering apps. I'm sure you don't want a 2-hour episode on browsers.
I gotta admit, though, Opera always gets the short end of the stick.
They do.
I kind of now regret. I mean, as great as Firefox is, and everyone's gonna go vote for it, I'm gonna win. I'm like, maybe I should have looked at Opera, because they always get screwed.
I actually have Opera, and I do use it every once in a while.
I have it too. Yeah, I use it every now and then. Yeah.
Sorry, Opera.
We should do an arena. Is there enough Opera products to do an arena of pure Opera products? Maybe we could do that, like a special Opera version of the arena,
like the sympathy version.
The honorable mention.
We're sorry, we slide into Opera.
It can be the loser's bracket.
The loser's bracket.
Email aaa@twit.tv. Address it to Ron.
Sorry. There we
go. Of course, I'm going to have to read them all anyway. So, okay, so you can vote on this week's poll. We had Dolphin Browser HD, Mirin, Firefox, Skyfire, Stock Browser, LastPass. Although I didn't know about the LastPass, so I just put it in a Stock Browser. So
that's why I said you were going to win, because everybody uses Stock.
I'm sorry about that. But it is bit.ly/poll25AAA. bit.ly/poll25AAA. AAA, and you can vote for your favorite browser from the ones that we covered today. And next week, I think, you know, we had a hard time picking a topic.
Yeah.
Here's what we've kind of been discussing. We want to know what you think about this. We have a lot of fun with the grab bags, and at a certain point, and we've gotten some emails to this point as well. At a certain point, comparing apps that are of a similar category or the same category ends up a lot of times, probably partially today, being a lot of the same features covered 3 to 4 times, depending on how many apps we have, because they're all very similar. So what we're thinking is possibly increasing the amount of grab bag apps, or Android arenas, and kind of decreasing the topical ones, maybe evening it out.
Yeah,
so,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
Do a grab bag, then do a topical one to kind of, you know, flip it around a little bit. So next week we're going to do a grab bag, long story short, and we'll see what we kind of come to the table with and compares three very different apps, I guess.
Yep. Sounds
all right.
Good.
Cool. Well, so that's that. We've definitely gone over. Gina Trapani, thank you so much for joining us on today's show.
Thanks
for having me. This is so fun. Sorry I turned into this, like, ghost toward the end. The sun went down, so I'm looking a little, like, creepy.
That's okay. In your best creepy voice, why don't you go ahead and plug the things that you need to plug?
Ooh. Well, if you like this show, you should be watching This Week in Google, which I do with Leo and Jeff Jarvis on Wednesdays at 1 p.m., and if you're interested in checking out my Android app, it's a task manager for plain text lovers. Go to todotxt.com, and check it out. It's listed there. And thanks so much for having me. This is tons of fun.
Yay. You guys.
Absolutely. We're honored to have you on the show, seriously. Well, that's great. I guess we should really quickly check in on jasonsthumbring.squarespace.com.
Oh,
yeah. Jason's.
There's stuff happening on that site.
There is indeed stuff happening on jasonsthumbring.squarespace.com.
It's an internet happening.
It is an interesting page. It is a slideshow of thumbrings.
Seriously?
Yes. Not all me. I don't have a...
This is impressive.
Oh, so it's changed even since my last refresh.
Oh, and they made a Twitter account at Jason's Thumb Ring.
Okay, that's good.
This is great.
That's good. So apparently there's the rings you wear, your thumb,
there's
a video. There's even a video about thumb rings.
With the reflection of the moon.
Okay. So for those... Yeah, the rings you wear. Okay, by Kathy Rose. So I think this is good. This is a good start. And I believe the password was what?
We can't forget the thumb here. The thumb is very powerful. It is linked with Mars and will, courage.
Okay. All right.
It's
energy,
linked with Mars.
Power.
I had
no idea. See, I'm smart like that.
Assertive energy.
That's right.
Confidence. Politician speaking.
Wow.
That is awesome. All right. Well, so there's that. And that's it for this week. Ron, why don't you go ahead and plug real quick?
Real quickly, everyone, you can go to about.me/RonXO and you can find all the links to me at Twitter and iFanboy and Graphically, the websites I work at during the day, is Facebook and all that fun stuff. So go to about.me/RonXO.
And Eileen.
You know, I just wanted to point out that I made a big mistake in the last episode, and I'd like to thank... Yeah, and I got called out for it a couple times. I mistook in my rant about not having enough RAM in the HTC Sensation. I said, 760 megs of RAM. Oh, I can't install many apps. I know RAM is different from internal storage, and I messed up, and that was me. So I'm correcting that right now. So thank you very much for your emails and your posts and everything. There, I got it wrong. Sorry. Okay. But anyways, you can find me on G+ everywhere. There, I love G+. Just do a search for my name or on Twitter at EileenTV. And that's it. You find me. I'm
cool.
Here.
And I'm on G+ as well, Jason Howell, or on Twitter, Raygun01. So that's it for this week. Thank you guys so much for joining us yet again. And thanks to our awesome guest hosts today. You guys
and
have been
Brady too.
Wonderful. Voicemail 347-SHOW-AAA. You can send us an email, AAA@twit.tv. Hit us up on Twitter at Android Show. Show notes at twit.tv/AAA. And finally, catch us live every Monday from 5 to 6 p.m. Pacific, live.twit.tv. That's it. We'll see you guys next week for another episode of All About Android.
Bye. Oh, we didn't get the tattoo.